Let me make this clear. It's not about perfecting our parenting. It's good enough parenting, okay? So understand that the whole idea of this 8 series is not to put anyone in guilt. No, that's not where we want to go. We want to explain, bring about awareness, and hopefully you can turn around and help your children, your grandchildren, and help other children in the church that may need your help. Does that make sense? So this has nothing to do with putting you on the spot or saying you're not. It's rather a process of growth. If you take it from that point of view, you'll have a lot of learning. If you take it from a point of poor me, it'll not help you. You'll feel so guilted. I don't want to achieve that. I want you to feel empowered and feel like I can do some work, all right? So we have 31 slides in an hour. Let's see how far we can go with it. We'll have a good discussion going forward. Okay. So good enough. That's what we're talking about today. We'll be having 8 series of this. How many of us have been reading the book? You got the book. You've got to read the book, because if you don't read the book, I don't cover everything. I dice and slide with it, because I'm assuming you've read the book and so you have an idea about it. So please get the book. It's not too late. This is one. And start reading. Get them from IPI. They can get to you so quickly. It'll be great. This program was written by our disciple John Louis and Karen Louis. They did a lot of research around it, and we can take it from there. And it's helped a lot of churches, a lot of people. And we're doing it. We've done it many times, but I hope that this time it will help us. I've tried to tailor make this for our purpose here. It's not going. Okay, finally. Okay, here we go. As you see, in a world of too much information, enough parenting uses movies to teach parents how to meet core needs. They're about core needs, we'll look at that. And at the same time, how to avoid passing down their own dysfunctional behavior. How many of us have a dysfunctional behavior? I'm in the right place, myself included. Schema therapy has been successful with adults, but I have always wanted to see someone do schema therapy on preventing schemas or life traps in children. Here it is. This is the PhD lecturer professor who actually trained John Louis and Karen Louis to eventually come up with this. So we now take that schema therapy, and you'll understand that is as we go forward. However, I hope that you're reading the book more, and here I just come and we discuss and move forward. So, dysfunction is the gift that keeps on giving. Is that true? That if you look at your dysfunctions, you got them from your father or your mother. And your mother got them from your grandmother or grandfather. And that dysfunction keeps coming. So this dysfunction, if we keep running away from that dysfunction, we will never solve it. But with this is a tool that can stop us from doing that, and so we can start changing and making a progress. We want to make you the grandfather or the grandmother that made the difference. You follow that? Yeah. That changed the dynamics that was going on in the family that was going on for a long time. So, Proverbs 18:14, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? What's the point here? Meeting emotional needs is not as easy and intuitive as meeting physical needs. It's easy for you to go and meet the physical needs of your child. Provide food, take them to school, dress them up, put them in a car. What about the emotional needs? What do you guys think about that? Is that easy? Why is it difficult to meet emotional needs? Just steer. They may not be able to express that, Zach.
It's not easy to read.
It's not easy to read. You can't read it, yes?
You can't really see it all the time.
These are our children, yes?
You can't give what?
You can give what was not given to you to another person. Doing this, we begin to make changes. Yes, Sam? It takes a lot more time. In a busy world of America. And you're supposed to take more time with the children, time with them and raise them properly. And so you can go for the and lose the children because they're just taking way too much of your time. And that's what goes on here. So we need to understand this and understand it takes time. It's not a quick fix. We have to start making the change today gradually as we go forward. Okay. Children are put in harm's way unintentionally as a result of ignorance and lack of training. That is what we're giving it. We're giving training so that there's no ignorance. And the more aware you are, the more you can start changing, right? If you're driving and you have so much happening around you, you can adjust accordingly. But if you don't have that mirror, you're going to be hitting people before you figure out what happened. So here we go. We got to have some training in the next 8 weeks, talk about these things and remove the ignorance and discuss among us. Sometimes children are quite certain about what they need, especially physical needs. However, children don't always know how to explain their emotional needs. Why is that? Yes, Zach?
They don't have the vocab.
No vocabulary? Anybody else? Why do you think children don't?
They don't know anything else. Don't know
anything. They don't know that they need it. Emotional weakness. Oh, there we go.
I think it's just because, you know, when you're an infant, you're crying and somebody meets that need, but having to learn how to transition to other ways to communicate that there's something else you need, it takes time.
It takes time. Children don't know what we feel. Wow. You're going to say something? There we go. If the parents show emotion and show need themselves, then the kids can start also showing the same thing. If you don't, it's just the way it's set. Why am I going to show emotion? It's not here. Yes. Yes, Perry. So they don't, the way they feel and the way they should feel. So it's, in other words, if the culture is not there where the child is allowed to really talk about what's going through, and kids can get you enough and you may call it straight, it'll be a challenging situation to keep training that. So it takes time to get to that point. So we have to understand why it can be challenging to raise kids in this time when emotionally they're all kind of needs flying and you're wondering, why are they not just listening? Okay. This stuff only makes sense when we are taught. Most mistakes from parenting are unintentional. Is that right? Is any parent here that goes out to make mistakes in parenting? Say, today I'm going to mess up my kids. Nobody does that. It's unintentional. But we got to deal with that and start building on a better point. The best gift a man can give his children is to love their mother. Why do you think that's so?
It sets a pattern of what they should do.
It sets a pattern of what they should do. Anybody else? Happy wife.
Happy life.
Happy life. Somebody, yes, let's go ahead. Okay, to teach him or to love him or hate him, so she's a giver of life. Yes.
So you're teaching your son how he should love
Yes. And this is not to put anyone on the spot if your spouse is not here or you're a single mom or a single dad. That's not to put you on the spot. But just so that you understand, I'm saying this for those that are married. This is very important. If you're not, if you're a single mom or a single dad, there's much we can do around that as well and try and mitigate as you get to understand. Does that make sense? But for those of us who are both couples and are here, this is a big thing, and I think there's a lot of leadership that comes on the father's side to try and lead and love your wife, lead your kids. And there's a lot of work there, as well as the wife does what biblically is acceptable in the Bible, it really works well. Does that make sense? So it's two-way. There's a lot of work there. So as men, we tend to be busy and tired and just out of it. But we have to engage way much more than The Bible expects us to engage in this area of parenting like nobody's business. And engage with in my family, I see the weaknesses I carry and why I must keep growing. Does that make sense? It's easier to keep yourself safe, but you're not growing. Engage yourself and you'll see how you have to grow a lot. As the kids grow, you have to keep growing with them. Does that make sense? Okay. He's here. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Okay, we're good. I think he's getting that. So the weathermen, children affected when their parents fight. I'm going to show a clip here. Please watch this clip and then let's discuss it a little bit. Are we able to play this? Can we play that, please? And can we play can we dim the lights? So an example of how this can go down. Volume.
They were cool about it.
They were out.
They were out.
They were out of tartar sauce. I'm calling them.
Fuck the rain.
It's not about the tartar sauce.
We both just think it's better for the.
Okay. What did you see in that family? It's dysfunctional, but get more specific. Get more specific. Fits of rage. Was there something wrong?
Well, when the parents started arguing, the kids left the table and they went to kind of cover their ears and hide from it.
When they started arguing, the kids left the table. It's like the family began to fall apart right there. Yes, Cook. Lack of trust happened. They were disrespecting each other in front of the children, angry names. Should that have been happening? Yes. Clearly not the first time. It's a culture in the home. Shouting happens. They don't respect the kids. And they're passing on very dysfunctional habits about things. Yes. Children are isolating themselves. They're not feeling safe at all. Yes. That was?
Normal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's become a culture. Yes. Okay, we're going to go here. Yeah. Yes, you don't build security when you do that. Insecurity becomes very huge. Yes. How to deal with conflict. And you deal with conflict by being explosive. We're going to talk about that for a moment. I'm coming over there. Just
okay. The son went to the TV and was watching violence, and the daughter went and hid.
So they're coping very differently.
Yeah.
If you went further, you would figure out who will get addicted to drugs quickly. Just by looking at those two. You can look at them and say, this one's going to hit drugs before this one. They learn how to shut them out, yes.
I think even as often as this has happened before and they're used to it,
yeah.
The way the girl covered her head, it still bothers her. It's not something they can just tune out or ignore. It still bothers them no matter how long it's been happening.
All right, their hands coming up everywhere. Yes, go ahead.
I noticed that the boy chose to sit in front of the
TV. To go in front of the TV. To find a distraction. From the noise coming from that direction. Yes, Patrick?
I wonder if it happens so much that first you try to get your parents to stop fighting, maybe get them to clear or something.
Yeah. They've given up on that. Yes.
Well, the wife is also saying that it was not about the party.
Yes. And she says, you're so selfish, and goes on and on and on and on. Yes. Okay, because of time, I've got a roll. Here's the issue. We've got to get this down. Marriage, you got to fight for it. It's easy to give up on marriage because it's because we don't take time to build it. And we're going to talk about that another day. Today we're talking parenting. But it's so connected to raising kids, you got to stick with it. If you're a single dad or a single mother, stick with the environment in your house and check, how is your environment? Do you shout? Do you yell? What happens there? What kind of parent are you? Do you talk through things? I'm learning just to say certain things I will not do anymore. I will not shout. I'll speak one time. If they don't get it, I'll get the consequence going. You're for that. So you have to keep growing at this thing. You can't keep running away from it, because sometimes we have a dysfunction that we're creating in the house, and it's now creating these kids as well. Does that make sense? So in today's society, having a good marriage takes work. There's no getting around it. When our marriage falls apart, it affects our children. Psychological development, their emotional health, and their character. All those three things go down. So we've got to fight for the marriage because it forms their psychological development, their emotional health, and their character. You see that? So you really have to fight for that.
Wow.
There's no going around. Is there any reason? What is the one reason we find it so hard to fight for marriage in today's society? We don't want it to work? Oh, we don't want to work. That's it.
Selfish?
Yes. I think we've bought into society's norms, even though we're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We gravitate more to the Hollywood ideas, to the American idea, more than the Bible and what the Bible tells us to do. Yes?
Everything is replaceable.
Let me tell you something. You can't replace your spouse. There's only one like that one. I'm telling you. I speak even to older people that are not Christians and say, yeah, stick with your wife, buddy. Doesn't matter what happens. The point I'm trying to say is this. Is figure out what's going wrong. Go deep to do the work. Do the work of going deep, which is painful. We all run away from that. We like it. We just want it to happen. Somehow it should just happen. No, go deep and figure out what's going on. What is the dysfunction that's creating all this in your family? As you do that, it's going to help you do a lot of repentance, but it's also going to help you to change a lot. As long as it's not coming out of shame and guilt, it's coming out of conviction that this needs to be different. Why do we behave the way we do? That's the question, right? Having kids makes us look deeper into ourselves to ask, why do I behave the way I do? This is what we spend a lot of our time going around trying to fix. So we will also wonder, why do my children behave the way they do? Do you have any answer why we behave the way we do? Baggage is one of it. Kids, us, both us and the kids. The kids are imitating us. We're going to look at it closely and see. Those are part truths. But we're going to put it into much more perspective. So that's what we want to answer. Because if we answer this, we begin to make changes as we raise kids. We're calling it good enough because it's a growth process. One of the things of why we behave the same we do, the way we, is in our inborn emotional makeup, as in the way we are built to respond to events. That everybody here is different. If a lion came through here, what would happen for some of us? What would happen? Take off? He would take off. What do you do, Joe Cook?
Take off.
Chad, what did you do?
Take
well, here's the deal. We're all different. Some people try to hide underneath the chair. Others will be stepping on top of others' heads, getting off. Others will just freeze. Inborn issues. Just, you will not think. You can't get up. You just freeze. You're like, what happened? Temperament. We're all different. Temperament, is it really the way we, let me just repeat what you said. Is it really how we are born or what we learn? That's the question. What do you guys think? Both? We learn some, but some we are born with a temperament. Well, they've done studies on kids. Some kids are, when you go into the nursery and the kids are making noises, some kids are very joyful. The voices, the sounds they make, they say, these kids are quite joyful. Then they've checked, the kids is a bit angry.
Maybe in the womb,
yeah.
These babies were exposed to music and joy and laughter.
Yeah.
And these babies were exposed to that.
And when we said the temperament, and the other thing is that even from the point of conception and what's going on, all that plays and what is being consumed and all that. So all that can bring your temperament. So it's true that we learn some, and some we're born with it. Do we agree on that? Okay. So that explains why we behave the way we do. The next, environment. Let's talk about the environment that helps us behave the way we do. Birth order does affect, right? So how many of us have two children? How many of us have three? Four? Five? Okay, we got five going. Six? Seven? Okay. We'll leave it at that for now. And anyone beyond that? Here's the deal. How does a firstborn carry themselves? They're closer to their parents, right? Closer to their parents. Way more control, proper. And agree, tend to agree more. They would be the child that easily fuses with the family, right? What? Yes. What about the second child? Always? Always looking for attention? Maybe... What?
Yeah. Overachievers?
Must have their way?
Yeah.
Yes, Sam? Okay, here's the deal. The middle child never fits. So when we call attention, we gotta be clear. Is it really fit? Is it attention or they're not fitting? So they're always bouncing around. Because the first child is so connected to dad or to mom. And so they're very close to mom. The second child is never fitting, is blamed a lot. If anything goes wrong in the house, they get a lot of blame. That is a child that leaves and goes to Africa and doesn't come back for 15 years. But talks to you anyway. I'm okay, I'm fine. How are you doing? But doesn't feel like I miss home. Why aren't you coming home? I'm fine, I'm busy, I'm doing one or two things. Middle child, right? So that's why they bounce around like that. Because they're trying to get, where do I belong? The third child?
Baby. Spoiled.
What do you say? Spoiled? Okay, so that you understand, the third child is the last born, right? The way it plays this, first is a firstborn, second is a middle child, third is a lastborn, fourth is a firstborn, fifth is a middle child, sixth is a lastborn, seventh is a firstborn. It depends on how close they are in age and how you're treating them. There's a lot of other factors, but ideally if you have them on regular interval, they're just going to be... You can have, if there's such a big interval, they'll be playing like firstborn, firstborn, firstborn. Make sense? So that affects your child. So the last child is an entertainer, and you can follow and try to pick up a lot of stuff behind them. But they're good with people, and you ought to be careful about that. And you can hardly put them down. You can yell all you want, but they're still coming back at you. And you think they're stubborn and all that, well, it's the firstborn, the lastborn behavior. They're going to be coming back at you like nobody's business. So if you don't figure out your dysfunctions, you're going to keep fighting with that kid. You'll fight and fight and they're going to win. You got to figure out what your dysfunctions are around with that child. The middle child the same way. They need to feel like they belong. The first child confuses easily, but you got to pay attention to them as well. Birthplace. How does that affect someone? Where you're born? Yes.
I think that it determines what you can focus on, because if you're kind of in a survival mode all the time, all you can think about is your basic needs. But if you have that under control, then you have the time and ability and the thought to be able to take care of other needs and other emotional needs.
Correct. Let's say you're born in an environment, birthplace. Let's say you're born in a place where there's a lot of fighting. Does it affect you? What if you're born in a place where there's a lot of dysfunction of all kinds, drugs is going on, you don't know when your mom is coming back, you don't know when your dad is coming back. Does that affect your place?
Absolutely.
These things affect us. This information is not to make you feel bad. It's to help you become aware of what is playing. Are we together? I don't want you to feel like, oh my goodness. Oh. No. I want to help you get informed. Get informed. Get the courage. And this. Don't get beat down. That's the whole idea, to get your understanding. So what about neighborhood? How can a neighborhood affect you? Kind of? Yes. That's true. But you can also have it the other way around, where you have much with the first ones, but as the last come in, you've lost a lot of things. I went through that in my family, where at his peak, everybody had it. As I came through, it was reducing. Yes.
Or there's a lack of safety on the other end.
Lack of safety, lack of bags, all that affects the child's development and how they're growing up and the people they're interacting with. Yes?
Well, perspective, because I think about in a tough neighborhood, there's a part that you really feel like you have to work hard.
Yeah.
You have to incentivize to work hard, to really dedicate yourself, to make something of yourself. Where you could be on the other side, you could feel entitled.
Yeah.
Because you feel like, well, everything has been handed to me, so therefore, life should be handed to me versus me really working hard for it. So it really can flip and work the opposite way.
It's true. Can flip both ways.
I was raised in a small town. It was a very secure place. Right. We then moved to a really big city, and I did things as a child thinking I was still in a secure place. Looking back, I'm surprised I survived. I did things, just very naive things.
Got you. Yeah. Naive stuff. Yes. Totally agree. Here's the point we're making, that whatever place you are molds you, now you become aware, and because you're a disciple, you're making progress towards being more like Jesus Christ. That is the key here. Does that make sense? So, I know we want to talk. Can I just keep going a little bit? Type of school, how does that affect? How does that affect?
I think that both neighborhood and type of school can have the same effect. Because it's the peers you're around, and you tend to work hard to fit in and to be accepted, and peers can either encourage you to do better and challenge you to do better, or they can give the exact opposite effect, make fun of you if you try to do well.
Yeah. Yes, dear? You want to say something? Yeah? Expectation? But you see, as parents, we can talk to our children and help them even when they're in a tough place. Because if you pull away totally from your children, because of circumstance, you're in this place, you still can talk to them and help them to excel even though they're not in the best of schools. You know you can do that? So the whole point is to see why you need to get involved, not to say, oh, my kids are going to turn out wrong because of the school they go into. But you can talk to them. You can talk to them. We can do a lot by just talking to them. Does that make sense? So, core needs. Let's talk about these things that we need to do then. Needs required in order to not hurt others or self. Should not give too much or too little. We're going to talk about the core needs, and we'll spend around this. That studies show that if you give this core needs to your child in a balanced way, they'll come around. Now, we're saying good enough parenting because nobody's perfect. Does that make sense? So don't get overwhelmed, but think about how can I get more balanced about doing this. So what are these core needs? Basic safety. We'll talk about that. Now, what is basic safety in the 21st century? We're going to talk about that. We'll discuss with you together and see which one is that. Guidance and protection. What is that like? What is that supposed to look like in this 21st century? Reasonable limits. How's that supposed to look like? Love and nurturing and attention. What is that supposed to look like? Empathy, validation of feelings. How does that look like? Acceptance. Accepting children. Accepting the first, the second, the third. For who they are before you try to put training in them. First accepting them. Because sometimes you can refuse a child for who they are. Just not accept them. But they are who they are. I think I was that child for a while. I was the hard guy to accept. And then eventually came around. Why do we behave the way we do? Temperament, environment, parenting, core needs met. If this 1, 2, 3, 4 things are dealt with, we begin to change the way a child is behaving. So there's a lot of things, but we've got to start with us. We're moving forward, and then the kids change. When our core needs are met, combined with temperament and environment, when core needs are not met, combined with temperament and environment, children get discouraged and they develop life traps. Life trap, anyone who's read the book, what is a life trap? What's a life trap? You've been reading a book, so I don't want to be giving you all the information. Yes?
It's a negative reaction to something that you experience.
Something that you experience again and again? It's a life trap because it's, put it this way, let's take this building, okay? It's built this way. If you put 5 stories up, what would happen? It would be collapsing because of what?
Not enough foundation.
Because we've not worked on that, right? The foundation. That explains why the world today is pushing hard to get children when they're still young. It's never too late, though. You can start and start rewiring so that child does not see themselves as warped totally. It just takes a lot of energy. A lot of energy when they're older to try to begin make that changes in their life. Or even in me, I have to take a lot of energy to begin making that change. Because those life traps, they are exactly that, a life trap. They trap you again and again and again. The dysfunction keeps coming up. And so you're trapped and you're not moving forward. So let's see what happens. Colossians. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Depending on how your father raised you, you may be doing the same thing unconsciously. Am I right? But is that not true about mothers as well? This principle is true with mothers. That you may be embittered in your children by the way you raise them. Fathers, do not aggravate your children or they'll become discouraged. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children or you crush their spirits. This is the message version. Why do we come too hard on the children? Why are we so hard on the children? Fear? So you haven't forgiven yourself, so you kick them, right? Yes? Yes. Okay. Yes. But they have to be children. They need to grow, but they have to be children. But they need to change. They cannot go from being children to adults, but they need to grow. So that grace sometimes is missing. Is that right? So it stops being about the child, it's about us. That's the problem, don't you think? Do you think we put pressure on each other? So we need to raise children for God, not for us. We need to raise children for God, not for us people. And then we need to become the village and stop judging each other and helping each other. The idea is not to judge people. The idea is how can we help each other to get our children become Christians, do better. So we may be going through something, but we are afraid to talk about it so much because what do people say? That is not a healthy culture. We need to get to a place where we can all talk about what, at least friends you trust to get help and move forward. Does that make sense? And during this process of life trap and madness, And during that process of unmet needs, we develop life traps. This is what happened to many of us. All of us, life traps are deeply entrenched beliefs about ourselves and the world view learned early in life. There are things you believe about yourself, but they're not true. They're not true to believe. The Bible tells you otherwise, you don't believe it. You create the image of God, you don't believe it. I have a plan for you, you don't believe it. You just keep going this other way. They start early, very early. Don't blame your parents, they didn't know. It's ignorance, that's what happened. So life traps are broad themes made up of memory. What's your memory of childhood? Emotions. I remember the blanket I went to in kindergarten because they would tell me sleep and I hated sleep. It took me a long time to accept, to take a snooze during the day. My wife had to convince me many times, you need to take a snooze during the day. And I was like, no, it's stuff that I experienced as a young kid. Kindergarten, yeah, it's right there. It's an experience. The train was not too far from where I was. Emotion, cognition. What are your cognitions about your childhood? Am I making sense now? It's coming together, right? That is what a life trap is, and that's what's being passed on to children without you knowing it's being passed on. As we get new information, we correct our views. The whole purpose of today is to give you new information so that you can correct your views. All right? E.g., the boundaries of an old map are altered and corrected to form a new map. Look at this map. Imagine that's you and me, you and I. What would happen to if this was the American map today, what would happen to the future of America? No California and all those, all IT stuff would not be happening, right? But that is not, that would be you and I because of how we view ourselves. The correct version is that. That exists, but because we've never had time to look at it in this life trap, this becomes a life trap. So the more information you get, the more you correct. And that's why we're doing this workshop of parenting, so we can correct and correct. If we don't, we're stuck here. We're stuck on that one. So get it today. We're doing this to get here, not to guilt you, not to shame you, to get here, to bring about the whole potential with God and what God can do. Old map, out of shape, out of scale, hence distorted view. That's a life trap. A lot of what we carry is a distorted view. Even though we are the Word of God on Sundays and Wednesdays, we've got to start engaging. And this is another tool, but the Word of God is what drives parenting. And then we have a tool now that helps you to bring about the change you're looking for. And you need people in your life, people to help you out as you're going, walking through your children. Just people that kids talk to. That's good. Does that make sense? So this lesson, we're going to deal with three things, a life trap. That is emotional inhibition, emotional deprivation, defectiveness. Did any of you read this? Did anybody read about emotional inhibition? Yeah. What was that?
Whenever you're words.
You don't feel?
You're afraid to feel.
You're afraid to feel. Those are the words. When you have emotional inhibition, you're afraid to feel. So we want to control so much the kids, we don't feel for them. So we're emotionally inhibited. We're passing that on. We've got to work on that. We don't feel for the kids. Emotionally deprived. What about, that's pretty close, right? Deprivation, how different? One is afraid to feel. What about deprivation? Emotional deprivation, what's that? You don't have anyone close to you. The deprivation?
Yeah.
You're deprived totally. You didn't get it. No emotions were given to you. No hugs, no I love you, no what was given to you. Defectiveness? How is it connected? Defectiveness? You have a warped self-concept, some defectiveness. How many of us feel like we're not good enough? Some defectiveness. It is. It's defective. You feel defective. Let's look at that for a while. You may be coping. These are not the best way of coping, but we do it. You may be coping by counterattacking, flight, also known as escape or avoidance, or you may be also known as surrender. Let's see how the cartoons help us to understand this. That's a surrender person. Have you taken a minute to read it, the cartoon? I told you to go and buy a 20-word bulb, but you got the wrong one. Why do I have to tell you things over and over? Really? I'm stupid. It's all my fault. Is she saying that or is she thinking that or feeling that? I'm sorry, right? But where is the source? I told you not to forget your lunchbox. Why are you so stupid? What age is that? They're going to forget lunchbox for a long time. Is that true? We forget kids, don't we? What's the problem with this correction? What's the problem there? What's the problem? It's becoming abusive by language being chosen is not... You're supposed to teach a child to keep things properly, not to put them down. Teach them to be organized, to put things together, not to put them down. And that's what creates this. So they say sorry a lot, they surrendered, but nothing happens. How many of us say sorry a lot? You're becoming aware, that's all. You say sorry a lot, but not much change is happening, right? Yeah. Let's figure out how this goes. What about this other one? Avoidance. I didn't like the fact that you didn't support me in front of your parents. You made me look like a fool. I was only trying to help you see it from their perspective. Where are you going? Let's talk. Sorry, I might be in here for a while. I think you saw the movie, right? Who was going to be doing this in that movie? The boy or the girl in the movie, in the clip we watched? Who's going to be doing this? Yeah. So what are they doing? They can't just take difficult conversations. We took another time, another day. Is that making sense? These are coping mechanisms. They're not right. They're not godly. What about this, honey? I was worried it's after 8 p.m. You should be grateful that I came home and I'm not out there at karaoke lounge like my colleagues. What's that? So your kid breaks a glass. What happens in the house? Do you yell? We live in the day of China, guys. They're cheap now. It's how you deal with simple mistakes. A kid was just walking, touched something. It's how you deal with that. Do you shout? Is everything a shouting match in the house? Or do you ask to find out what happened? Do you let the kids explain? Because if they explain and you understand it, you may let that go. Do you want that to happen or do you just shout? You're triggered to shout all the time. You just triggered to shout. What happens? And so you wonder how this guy gets like this. This was just, I wondered where you were. That's all. And look at what happened here. Conflict came from nowhere, right? Sticks and stones don't break my bones, but words don't hurt. Is that true? Never use words like useless, idiot, good for nothing. I hope you don't mama under your breath when you're talking with your kids. And if you do, I think it's a good time to start to change. Don't insult the kids. Speak your mind with them. Be clear. But don't insult the kids. That's not where you want to go. Avoidance can mean inability to have intimacy. So because you avoid issues, you can't have intimacy. And that can be playing in the marriage as well. Because you never talk about the issues, intimacy is going away. Avoidance often leads to addiction. There's a lot of addiction today. Pornography addiction, workaholic, shopping. We can go on and on. Drugs, anything. We can just go on. Why? Because we never talk about the issues. We've got to talk about the issues. And if you're going to talk about it, talk about one issue in a day. Don't try to cover 10. One in a day. Just say, okay, let's just talk about this. And that's good enough for today. Let's talk about it next time. You got to wait. All right? Waiting will help you to understand what's wrong, bit by bit. Okay? So addiction temporarily soothes the emotions pain, but never takes away. What are you doing to... What is it that you're not dealing with in your life? It's affecting the way we're raising children. And we're doing this program together so that we don't lose them. Church, I'm begging you that we work on this together. I have young kids just like you do. Let's work on raising our kids together. But you cannot deal with that if you're avoiding. And that's why we need one another relationships. Go and get help. Talk about your issues. Get help. We cannot fix this by just coming to a workshop. This is the beginning. Go get help.
My kids are all adults now. One of the things that I realized when they were growing up that all the parents were dealing with the same things.
Yeah.
It's not like I felt like I was alone, but I wasn't. Everybody's dealing with the same thing.
All are grown now, but he's coming here for the grandchildren right now. That makes sense? We're dealing with the same thing. So this conspiracy of nobody knows what's going on, you're fooling yourself. We're all dealing with the same thing. Let's help each other. There, let's walk through this thing and talk through about the weaknesses we carry and fight through this thing together. All right? That's the whole reason why we're doing this, so we can start talking and really get in the area of helping each other raise children. Okay, here is where I want to end. What do you see there? A distorted, right? Defective. Why do you think the person doesn't see themselves the way they really are? What happened during the raise? What was the life trap we dealt with today? Yes. What? Criticize a lot, so there was no emotion given. What else? What? Low self-esteem and all that, there was no emotion given? Yes? We are not just built by what we see. We are also built by what we are told. So we got to ask ourselves, what are we telling our children? When is the last time you connected with them? Yes, Joe?
When I was
okay. 201. She spoke.
I think the world puts unrealistic expectations out there for kids to try and live up to. And when they don't meet those expectations, they kind of feel inadequate. And that can carry on.
Okay. Here's the assignment.
Homework.
If you have kids, this week try and connect with them. Emotionally. Make an emotional connection this week. Just talk, figure out what's going on, how they're feeling, what frustrates them, and get around about that. Okay? I'm not going to hold you accountable next Tuesday, but let me tell you something. God sees you. It's you and God. So walk this out with God. I don't want to make this about me. I'm way too small for the business. I'm just serving you. I'm not really, I don't want to create this about, okay, he's going to ask. I want you to think about God and think about how would God want you to raise your children and what are the changes you have to make in you to raise them better. It's a journey though. So don't beat yourself down. Instead, and if you can pair with each other and talk through these things and say, how can I start doing better if your spouses talk through these things, it'll be great. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.